Thanks, Matt, for thinking about that. That was, as Fee said, there's things that can happen year by year, decade by decade, and we get so used to it. Thanks. I don't know whether you just want to look at Ecclesiastes 7:3. It just caught my eye. If you still get it open there. Gave me quite a bit of encouragement when I read that. Sad face is good for the heart. So I thought that would give me quite a lot of encouragement because, you know, anyone up the front here speaking, you know, likes to get some good feedback. So if I see lots of sad faces, I know I've got it right. So don't laugh. It's not going to be funny anyway. I don't know whether you thought, Fee, that guy at the bottom of the cliff could have been an angel. So they have angels in France as well. Yeah. Well, am I okay? I sound a bit boomy, but it's all right. Okay, all right. It doesn't really matter if you go to church or what sort of church you belong to. The choice is yours, because in the end, all religions lead to God. It doesn't really matter if you go to church or what sort of church you belong to. The choice is yours, because in the end, all religions lead to God. Can you put the second slide up? Thanks. Someone said that to me fairly recently, and or something very similar to that, and it sort of got me thinking. I was thinking about what I would talk about tonight, and you know what I thought? That's such a difficult question. That's such a difficult thing to come up against. And I was thinking, if only Jesus had said in John 14:6, I am a way, a truth, and a type of life. Some come to the Father through me. Now, wouldn't that be a lot more straightforward? If we knew that Jesus wasn't the only way. And I was thinking that, you know, really all the conflicts that we've had in the whole of human history have resulted from, set positions, dogmatic positions, political positions of the different parties. And actually many of these have had their roots in religion as well. And so wouldn't it be a lot more straightforward if we could find a position, if we could decide between us all on the things that we agree on and keep all those things that we that are contentious, that we don't agree on, if we could keep them all quiet and private, and then the world would be a lot better place, don't you think? Be a more harmonious, be a more peaceful place, because people wouldn't argue, people wouldn't fight. But we being good Protestant evangelicals, we have to make our life hard for ourselves, firstly by insisting that there is only one true God. Secondly, and that's, I'm not even going to touch on the Trinity, because that's just weird. And then insisting that the only religion of all the world religions which has any access to God is Christianity. And then finally, to cap it all, we say that unless you accept this religion through Jesus Christ, then you're going to hell. That's a really good starter for a conversation over the fence, isn't it, with your neighbour? Well, it all started off with this this comment that I heard fairly recently, and I hope you that was tongue in cheek, by the way. I hope you realise that. But it's really to emphasise the point that A, those types of questions are real and everyday. Two, we need to respond to those. Three, we need to know how to respond to those questions. And also four, we need to realise that those types of view, those comments, those positions that people take, excuse me, they're very easy for us to assimilate into ourselves. They're very easy to think, oh yeah, that sounds all right. And before you know it, you're saying the same sorts of things in your everyday life, and even in your faith. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says in his letter, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope you have. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope you have. But, see that last bit, do this with gentleness and respect. So we're going to come back to that a little bit later. But I was thinking, you know, this argument that all religions lead into God, it's not a new argument. It's as old as the Bible itself, but it's only in the last sort of 40, 50 years that it has become more prominent. And now it's stated by people generally, society, as a fact. Okay, yeah, okay. We know that all religions lead to God. They're all more or less the same. So it doesn't really matter which way you go. And it's quoted by people on the basis of choice. Choice nowadays, as we know, is the ultimate, isn't it? We have to have mega choice. It's all about the individual having choice. We expect enormous amounts of choice. I just Googled this afternoon. I thought, if I went into Tesco's right now and I wanted to buy some toothpaste, how many would there be? In fact, the answer is 95. So if you go into, I don't know about Midsomer Norton, but certainly online, if you want to clean your teeth, there are 95 different ways of doing it at the moment. And another thing that we all use are telephones in our houses. And if you wanted a telephone, I went onto Amazon. Guess how many cordless telephones, not mobiles, how many cordless telephones there are? Well, on Amazon, there's 1,617. I think that's right, yeah. 1,617. I'm stupid, isn't it? Absolutely crazy that we've got to this position, that there is so much choice, and we've got there because you and I, we demand it after a while. That's why it's there. Because we are the most important people, aren't we? Good to have choice? I don't know, is it? Let's take a little bit closer look at that. Now, I went to Spring Harvest several times, but the one that I really remember was, I think, probably in the middle of the 80s in Minehead. And it was there that I first heard the term existentialism. And I hadn't a clue what it was. I don't know if you've got a clue what it is. Until I started doing this, I'd forgotten. Although I remembered the word. And this isn't going to get heavy, by the way. This is the only bit of philosophy that we're going to talk about. I did do a bit of research on this, and I felt I was going to get a nosebleed, so I stopped. But existentialism, and I'll say what it is in a second, has been on the increase in the sort of the second half of the 20th century. And it's gained a place in our everyday thinking. We all think to an extent existentially. And what it is, next slide, please. Existentialism is a movement in philosophy and literature based on the view that humans define their own meaning in life. It stresses that an individual's judgment is the determining factor for what is to be believed, rather than by religious or secular world values. Okay, sorry. So it's all about the individual. It stresses an individual's judgment, that the individual's judgment is the determining factor for what is to be believed. So, in other words, you can't tell me, I can't tell you what to believe. It's all down to you, okay? Whatever I believe is right for me. It might not be right for you, but it's right for me. So there are no longer any absolutes, we know that. Let me just ask you another question. What do you think fundamentally, and this is at its most basic level, distinguishes a follower of Jesus from someone who doesn't follow Jesus? So what is the real difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? A non-Christian might follow another religion or none. What is the main difference? What characterizes a Christian, a Christ follower? Yep. Word of God? Yep.
The Lordship.
Lord.
Who's the Lord?
Yeah, who's Lord? Yeah.
Christ's Spirit in him.
Christ's Spirit in him, yeah.
Hope of eternity.
Hope of
eternity, yep. Is that a relationship with Christ?
Pardon? Yes, right. I think that they all those answers are correct. And Anona. Yeah. Life after death because of what someone else did. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the opposite of excess.
Yeah. It's all comes from someone else
for us. Oh, sorry, Jill. Yeah. The basis for what's been said is the fact that Christ's suffering for us is our forgiveness that gives us that relationship to start with. So it's actually believing that he's God and that what he did, we need that forgiveness to get the relationship going.
Yep. It's a realization that there's someone outside of us. And all those were great answers. That was really what I was trying to get at here, is something really sort of fundamental. One who has the... Is that on the slide? Yeah. A Christ follower is one who has a connection with Christ and who realizes that they're sinful and need outside intervention because they know that nothing within their own resource is powerful enough to save them. So it's a very basic, low level, if you like, difference between, and all those things that were said there are built on the top of that. On the other hand, next slide, please. A person who doesn't follow Christ, we could possibly characterize as being self-reliant. They think they can do everything by themselves, having no need of outside intervention or being self-sufficient. In effect, they could consider themselves to be their own saviour. So, a huge difference between a Christ follower and someone who doesn't follow Christ. And when I was sort of thinking this through, I was thinking, wow, that second one there is really, when you put it like that, is really quite stark, and it is really quite scary. Because those are the sorts of values on the second one there that actually we're all being brought up with, aren't we? We should all be self-starters. When I was working for a living, I worked for quite big companies, and we used to have annual or sort of biannual reviews of our work performance. And I was always told by my boss that one of the things that the boss has always looked out for is that when you got to the point on your appraisal where it said, okay, what's the next step? Where do you expect to be within the next couple of years? The expected answer was, in your chair. The expectation of everybody in the company was to be like very aggressive and very self-motivated, and you know, to get to the top as quick as you can. I actually wasn't, but that was always something that I got hit with. But when we think about it, those values there are. I'm actually on by themselves, you know, there's nothing actually too wrong with them. It's when they get absorbed into our being and we start to apply them to our faith, which people do, is when it becomes a problem. And we see, if you go to the next slide, please. Okay, that doesn't show up too well. But these are the things that we see around us. If it feels right, do it. No one has the right to tell me what to do. You've got to look after number one. How often do you hear, I deserve better than that. I deserve a good life. We have an awful lot of choice. I don't know if some of you have been to the GP recently, but I have. And I had to have a test, and you get a menu now as to where actually you want to go and have your test. For the last one, I could have gone to about one of three places, and you know, I chose the nearest. But that's what healthcare is all about now. It's about choice. It's about the patient being number one. Nobody can tell me what to do with my body. The right to die, we hear a lot about that, don't we? Probably even more contentious is the right to have an abortion. Our gender is also a matter of choice. And things like communications, you know, everything, everywhere we look, there's a choice. And actually, to my mind, Thatcherism contributed quite a lot to that sort of feeling, because Thatcherism said that everything apart from defence of the realm and currency should be left to the individual. That's really what they said. And therefore, we got the right to buy council houses. We got we got lots of things. And over the years, it has progressed like that, and we've come to expect it. And the problem is that all these sentiments are actually head on. They're heading for a head-on collision with our Christian faith. The two really are incompatible. Is there on the next slide, please? And of course, as I said earlier, this is not new. This is from Philippians 2:19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. So this is the world that we live in. How do we challenge these assertions that we hear day by day? And I think we have to. So if I go back to the original statement, it doesn't really matter if you go to church or what sort of church you belong to. The choice is yours, because in the end, all religions lead to God. And that is actually an expression of this existentialism, because it's all about me. It's all about what I want. Let's try another couple of scriptures. Because one of the core values that has been eroded is this central idea, tenet of Christianity, that Jesus Christ is unique, and therefore Christianity and the gospel is unique, and its claim that the only way to reach God through Jesus Christ is also unique. So let's look at John 14:6. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So that immediately you can see that someone that is thinking existentially is going to have a real problem with that, aren't they, with that verse. Firstly, I am God, and secondly, I am the only way. Both would be a problem to an existential way of thinking, because one is I am God, that's an absolute. Well, there aren't any absolutes. I am the only way. You can't tell me that is the only way. I'll choose my own way. So let's look at Acts 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today, concern a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? And here he was speaking to the Jewish leaders here. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Again, there it talks about the only way. That's a big no-no to someone who's thinking like that. And the imperative, you must be saved. You can't tell me what to do. I decide that. They would be both an affront to that sort of thinking. So, yeah, I was thinking it was time that really that we all stood up for what we know to be true in our everyday lives. And I have to admit that, I mean, this is speaking to me, because in the past when I've heard that sort of speaking, those sort of things said, I've perhaps ignored them or changed the subject or something like that, because it's huge to get into those conversations. But we shouldn't be doing that. We should be challenging and not ducking. And it's quite interesting that I was thinking that actually, if we're not hearing those questions, if we never come across that particular question or questions like that or statements like that, then maybe we're not mixing in the right circles. It's quite interesting that Paul yesterday at the Leaders' Day, which was great. We had a really wonderful time there. Right at the end, we were talking about outreach and how we could reach people. And people were discussing various things. And Paul, right at the end, said, "I think we've got hold of the wrong end of the stick," or some such word, because he said, if you spend more of your time with your Christian friends than you do with the non-Christian friends, that outreach ain't going to work. I think that's sort of what you said, isn't it? And I thought, and applying it to this, if we're not hearing those things coming back to us, then maybe we're not mixing with the right people, because they will come, because it's part of, when you get in conversations, these things are part of our makeup now, sadly, and we come out with these things. So let's look at some, just to finish up, let's look at some very practical advice from St. Peter in 1 Peter 3. I'll read from verse 8. "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to do this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Be prepared to give an answer, but do this with gentleness and respect. And I think with those sorts of things, it's always good to have an idea, or I would, you know, perhaps think this through myself first, but as I was thinking it through, one probable statement that you might hear might be something like this: "Well, I think religion is a personal thing, and anyway, it doesn't really matter what you believe, because all faiths lead to God, and we'll all be all right in the end anyway." So one possible opening response to that could be, bearing in mind what Peter said in that verse we've just read, "Okay, you have the right to say what you believe, but because I believe that the Bible is actually God speaking to us, I have to go what it says in the Bible. I have to disagree with you on that one." And I think when we refer back to what we believe that the Bible is our ultimate authority, and if that's what it says in the Bible, then we're sort of, in a sense, removing that argument from ourselves, between me and that person, to what it says in the Bible, a higher authority. So all I would say is that when we hear these types of comment or assertions, let's challenge ourselves, really, in the spirit of 1 Peter 3. Let's challenge ourselves not to let it pass us by, not to ignore it, but actually to make some sort of comment that we need to have a stake in the ground, as it were, to say, actually, those things aren't right. And when you start listening to people talking and reading stuff in the paper and online that I've been doing this week, there's an awful lot of stuff that has this basis in this existential thinking, which essentially is, you know, is really anti-Christian, because that's not who we are. "There is no salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Okay, thank you.